I had a hammer, that's the warning you're going to get. You want to stay away from me.
That reminded me of something just now, Gary. Rosie, his workers gave him a hammer for Christmas or his birthday one time, and they put a whistle on it so that when Rosie was swinging it, it would make a warning sound. Rosie, you know, clear out. Here comes the hammer. Because he had a way of just whipping it so fast and striking so hard that, man, we need a warning for that. So this whistle would give you a little indication that Rosie's out. Rosie's at it.
Oh, you know, it'd be a mean trick is to put a dog whistle on there, you know, and you'd be working. All of a sudden, dogs are showing up. It's like, that's a genius idea, actually. That's great.
So we had a question. When are these 30th anniversary commemorative toolboxes available? Well, we were actually hoping a while ago, because all the proceeds for these toolkits, we've got it priced and set to where they're $50 per toolkit, we'll be able to net out of the sales and donate to our nonprofits. And, you know, this is new to us, and there's just been some setbacks. We had the toolbox. We found the one we wanted. You know, we've got all these stipulations on, you know, where the materials came from, where it's manufactured, where it's put together. And the company we originally found and the toolbox we wanted a traditional style with a hip top, and you open it up in the tray. You've got a retractable tray, you know, something you would see Granddaddy in his garage. Well, the first one we found, finally, the manufacturer, something clicked, and they said, oh, well, this isn't going to work because we stopped making this toolbox in February. You know, they were just trying to clear out old inventory, and we're trying to send this to the excess that's in warehouses.
Right.
So we didn't want this. Well, and they wouldn't even consider re-extending it for a year for this. So then we had to go find another one. And we found two toolboxes that were made that fit these requirements. And so we ordered one of each of those, and we had to play with those. And so then the one we found and picked, we said, okay, let's do this one. We need X amount. Well, they don't make these until ordered. So we've got a 6-week period turnaround time from ordering to receiving. So that set us back a little bit. But
at least for 6 weeks, you know what you're getting.
Right.
It's custom made. You know what you're getting.
And, the fulfillment warehouse we had found, the owner actually sold the company, and the fulfillment house service was actually discontinued. So we had to find a new fulfillment house kind of in the ninth hour just before we went live. But it turned out to be such a blessing because the one we found is actually not just a fulfillment warehouse, but they also are able to provide the etching so we can eliminate our cost in getting these done. So that was a great opportunity that came out of being forced to find a new fulfillment warehouse. So we thought Wednesday at about 3 o'clock that this was going to be live in time. And had it not been Thanksgiving and everyone closed for Thursday and Friday, it really could have been. So we're expecting every intention of it being live next week. And what we'll do is 150 is our magic number. So every 150 units sold will then make our next order, because that drives our cost point per unit to the point we're able to net that 50 per sale. So we don't know if we're going to sell 5 of these or 500 or 5,000. So the pre-sales will help us determine. But our strategy will be making that next order at every 150 units sold, so we get that price break that we're able to donate $50 per kit to our three nonprofits, Habitat for Humanity, St. Vincent de Paul, and Military Assistant Mission.
That's the best part of the toolbox right there. You got the tools you need. They last a lifetime.
The money goes to the local community, and the products themselves come from American manufacturing. It's just the win-win-win all around.
Win.
Well, of course, you can't have a toolbox without a
tape measure?
Tape measure.
Wow. Yeah, no, you can't. Not at all.
And until the 19, again, right at that construction boom, the old stick tape measure was the standard. You know, you fold it out. It would be kind of a folding yardstick, for lack of a better term. There's people today that are 20 that probably never even seen these in real life before. I remember in Louisiana, there were still a couple laying around the camp that was your tape measure. You didn't have this retracting device.
We had my dad had one in the wash house, and it was funny because for those that have never seen it, it looks like a little 2x4, but you would just kind of fold it out once or twice, and we played with it as walkie-talkies. We had a vivid imagination, too.
Walkie-talkie?
You know, kinda, yeah, because it looked
like
one.
Antenna.
Yeah, there was your antenna.
Well, until the big construction boom of housing post-World War II, that was still your standard, as opposed to the spring-loaded tape measure. But that technology was actually patented in England back to 1829, and it was done by a gentleman, James Chesterman, who had a need to stay in business. His manufacturing of hoop skirt, or the metal for hoop skirts, you know, that market for hoop skirts dried up. So he had this huge excess inventory of metal in these round shapes that he was trying to figure out something to do. And he came through a purpose of repurposing this metal into a rolling measure device that ultimately started the development and the invention of what then got patented by a guy named Alvin Fellows out of New Haven, Connecticut in 1868, which was the spring click tape measure, the first to the market. And at that time, they were $17.
That's a lot of money back then.
How much do you think in today's dollar that would be?
17. And what year would this be again?
1868.
$17. I don't know, 100?
300.
Whoa.
So that's probably why you saw the folding tape measure is still the popular method. You know, follow the money. It wasn't affordable until the demand from the housing, you know, your supply and demand basic rule right there, and it comes forward to the tape measure. And we have actually two tape measures. We've got the first toolkit we're putting together will just be for the average consumer homeowner. There are a few items that we wanted to add to the toolbox because Rosie's and his carpenter, and it's the tools he would use. But there's homeowners don't have your average carpenter belt that has a sheath for fixed blade utility knives. So for the homeowner, we have a folding utility knife. It's a safety issue, and it's got a clip that you can put on your pocket. So we're probably going to have a homeowner toolbox and a contractor grade toolbox, but our homeowner grade will be a Stanley tape measure that will be in the kit. And the contractor grade one will have this new DeWalt one that has come out. Now, some of these do have foreign components in it, but they're still assembled in America. That was as close as we could find. You know, 80% American made is better than none percent American made. You know, hopefully through the demand, we can drive the demand to bring that manufacturing back. But here's the reason why. The hard cost from the wholesaler, Border Construction, for the DeWalt version is $24. So that's the hard cost. The Stanley, $4. So we had a price point. We also had a goal. We were trying to keep this under as well. And it's a metal tape measure for the average homeowner. It's still going to last you a lifetime.
Right.
For a contractor using it day in and day out, it's justified in spending that investment.
For the average homeowner, a good metal tape measure is really all you need.
Yeah. So we'll have a standard Stanley 25-foot tape measure for your homeowner toolkit, and then we'll have the DeWalt upgrade for the contractor package, along with fixed blade utility knives versus folding knives, and a couple other things that we'll get to as we talk about it throughout the course of the year. But that was the history of the tape measure, dating back to a necessity to keep his metal manufacturing plant in business. A hoop skirt ring maker develops the first rolling tape measure device out of the soft metal.
Now, you would think that a $300 tape measure wouldn't exist today. Ah, but we have the old U.S. government that probably has one floating around somewhere.
Oh, 3,000 gold plated.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 3,000 gold plated. That's true.
So you've got your hammering device. You have your measuring device. What about leveling? Yeah, it's pretty easy to see when something's level or unlevel. What was the first bubble leveler that came along? And this part is what I have a hard time kind of putting together. There's an amateur scientist and mathematician who worked for King Louis XIV at his royal librarian that first starts putting together this leveling. And I don't know if you know, but of course the French were the ones that invented the mirror.
Mais oui.
Yeah. Leave it up to some wealthy nobleman that needs to look at himself every day to invent this reflecting device that now becomes the mirror industry. And that goes back to the 15th century, I believe, if I remember right. Well, that's about the time the leveler came. I don't know if it was a necessity to now level his mirror. You can't have it crooked. It's got to be perfect. I don't know. But those two started being developed about the same time through the Frenchmen. And it was called the spirit level at the time. The level we have, it's a torpedo level, and it's kind of a great combination of all of these things coming together. So your level has a vertical level and a horizontal level standard that, you know, the bubble lines up. It's an air bubble and liquid that lines up perfectly between the two marks, and you've got one that'll go. Every level has one that's both horizontal and vertical. Well, this torpedo level we have in the kit has a 0 to 90 degree feature on it where you can actually spin it. So if you're trying to develop a straight line, let's say along a staircase, or create some kind of sloping accent if you're hanging pictures, or maybe you're building a slope for like a wheelchair ramp, or a walking ramp downward, you can actually turn to get the degree angle you want and line up your shot from there. Instead of just going off of a degrees for a T-square, you can now put that, it's in the spinning feature of your bubble
That's
level.
That's neat. It's so, a nice leveler.
It is, and that one's another Stanley. Stanley's been about 50% of our products have been the Stanley manufacturing name. Our tape measure, again, there's one Stanley, and then there's one that is DeWalt, which actually is subsidiaries of the same parent company above them. Tool manufacturing is pretty much done by three major players around the, at least what we call household names. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of more one-offs below that. But next we're going to come back to channel lock. And you always think channel lock as pliers. But because it's American made, there's a channel lock item in our toolbox that we'll talk about next.